afternoon, good evening, and good morning, Power Hour Nation. It is 11/16/2018. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman, and we have a great broadcast for you. Rick Kaler and Dr. Sherry Rogers will be along a bit later, but right now, another one of our favorites, Daniel Estulon. He is, of course, a geopolitical strategist. He's an award-winning investigative journalist. He is deeply connected with foreign intelligence and has a truly unique political perspective. His website, english.danielestulon.com. His new book, which is fantastic, by the way, In the Shadows of a Presidency, analyzes kind of the deep state war going on behind the scenes right now, right in front of us. Fascinating. Daniel Estulon, welcome back to the Power Hour, my friend.
It's always a pleasure. Wonderful to be back on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm feeling probably like at least half the country. What in the H-E double hockey sticks is going on down in Florida with these midterms and really across the country with this vote stealing?
You mean now in the year 2000 when they stole the last election?
Well, let's talk about now. It's a good point, but let's talk about now.
Well, I mean, again, it's absolutely normal. Well, it's not normal, but it's normal within the confines of what we're seeing globally. Again, the background to the entire thing we're seeing, whether it's in Florida and in Europe and the United States and Canada and Japan and China and Southeast Asia, is the fact that a model, a financial model, which we talked about every time I'm on your show and also explain it in detail in my book, okay, of the Western world, was established at the Bretton Woods Conference in 1944, and that model was meant to replace the Soviet system. The dollar was the core of the Bretton Woods system, and it was to become the foundation for a new worldwide system, including Russia, because the Soviet bloc lost the conflict in 1991, so it became one. But in 1944, the plan was to have the entire world under the control of the dollar system. So it was the dollar investments and dollar-denominated loans that were meant to be a tool to govern economically occupied territories at some point in the future. So what we're looking at today, because that Bretton Woods system and model is now collapsing, what you have is you need an alternative economic model, because that model, it doesn't matter where you look, all the bubbles are in the process of blowing up. What's this housing bubble, the dot-com bubble, the derivatives bubble, student loans, all of that is in the process of being dismantled as we speak. So because the fight today is, and that's how Donald Trump became president, between two very different economic models or systems. One, the liberal banking financier, Wall Street-driven, petrodollar, parasitical model, speculative model, and that controls about 70% of world economy. And these aren't the people behind Clinton, not only that, because it's transversal, because as I said before, the Bushes in the last election, meaning the 2016 election, they voted for Hillary Clinton. And the alternative group are the people who presented Donald Trump as their candidate. So what had happened was Trump's victory, the people who lost access to power, who lost the White House, again, it's not the Democrats, it's transversal. They lost access to this machine that you and I don't have that prints money, to the emission center. Because remember, between 2008 and 2014, the United States government printed $2.5 trillion out of thin air. Don't you wish you and I could do the same? And say, hey, honey, let's go shopping. Sure, what can we buy? I want this ring. It costs $50,000. No problem. And get my sheen out. And we print the money, and we go, and we buy this beautiful ring for our wives. And they love us, you know, to death. But we can't do that. And that's what happens to the people who lost access to power. They lost access to this machine that prints money. And with the midterm elections, Trump has solidified his position as the president of the United States, and for the first time we can truly say that Donald Trump is in charge of the Republican Party, because although he had majority in the House in 2016, a lot of the people who lost this election midterm last week, they were voting with the Democrats against Trump's initiatives, which means you have a lot of people who retired, such as Jeff Flake and others who are on the way out or lost. They were not the Trumpies, Trumpeteers, or whatever you want to call them. So what you're seeing right now, because, again, Trump won the Senate, and the people who want are 100% staunch Trump supporters. So he solidified his position in the Senate, and the people who are there, they're 100% behind Trump. Before, that wasn't the case. And in the House, although he lost the majority, most of the people who lost were not Trump Republicans. There were the people who were part of this global model, because, again, the reason, and it's not only in the United States, and it's a very important point for people to understand, it's not between the parties. It's a global phenomenon. You're seeing it in Canada, in England, in France, in Germany, all over the world, and obviously in the United States. It's the fight not between the left and the right, because both of them, under the control of the liberal banking Bretton Woods financier model, which is now on its deathbed and collapsing. So the alternative group with Trump at its head came, and so again, we're not going to say the Democrats, because it's not the Democrats. They need to win Florida. They need to do whatever is possible to get their, to cheat their way back somehow to have a chance at impeaching Donald Trump, because as long as Trump is president, and he's only going to get stronger, and I'm absolutely convinced, the way we were convinced in 2014, 7 months before Trump appeared on the scene, we said that this guy by the name of Trump, he's going to be the president in 2016. I'm telling you right now, and if you are betting men, bet, because I said you're going to win. In 2020, Trump wins the re-election.
All right, let me interject right here. Let me kind of summarize what you said. Basically, there's two, it's not left-right per se, Democrat-Republican left-right. That's gone. The Bretton Woods, the old model, the old Federal Reserve kind of print money, that system is dying. We are at a crossroads. This parasitic power, maybe that's a better way, this socialistic parasitic power that the Clintons seem to be the face of, it flipped on them in 2016 with Trump. Trump is there in the middle of this quote-unquote swamp, trying to interject America again, trying to interject, let's produce something. Let's have something of value. Let's not speculate and make stuff out of thin air. So as he comes in, the other side now is scrambling back to take back that power. Now, let me focus on Trump 1 second. In your book, you talk about the battle going on. Is Trump making headway? I'm looking at this, and if they can rig this, if they're going to steal Florida, they already stole Arizona. They stole, more likely parts of California. I mean, stole. I mean, me and you in the back printing out election tickets as fast as we can. If they can do that, what are they going to do in 2020? Are they going to be able to do that then? What's going to stop them? What can stop this swamp from just coming up and reaching this this new birth that we're talking about?
Because their model is dead. The only way that model, the liberal banking financier, speculative Wall Street global elite, could only survive as long as they control the emission center. And they control the emission center globally, which means they can disperse the money. And as long as you had the money, as long as you had gadgets, and they were able to put food on the table and give you profit, then everything was working. But because the system has reached limits to growth, there was nowhere to expand. Once the Soviet system collapsed, think of it this way. Think of a globe between 1944 and 1991 when the Soviet system collapsed. You had the two blocks. You had Western capitalist bloc and the socialist bloc. And the capitalist bloc controlled about 60% of the world's economy and the socialist bloc about 40%. But when the two systems merged and it became one global liberal banking financier cartel, they've reached the limits to growth and there's nowhere to grow, which means they can no longer expand. And if they cannot expand, they're dead meat, they're dead in the water, because there's nowhere to go. Which means that, and we saw that, in the year 2000, we had the dot-com bubble. In the year 2008, we had the Lehman Brothers collapse. And now we have general collapse of the entire economy. Again, one of the things that Trump came in when he became president, one of his objectives is to destroy the petrodollar system, which is the system of his enemies, the liberal banking financiers, because the petrodollar system allowed the government and United States citizens to live beyond their means for decades. This is why the country's media and the political elite treat the Saudis differently than they would, for example, the Russians or the Chinese or anyone else. Imagine the Russians had, killed and dismembered, somebody from another country. What would happen? So this is why Trump did not put Saudis on the list of sponsors. sponsors of terrorism, considering that 15 out of the 19 terrorists who hijacked the planes on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia. So overall, the petrodollar system is a glue that keeps the U.S.-Saudi relationship together, but it can't last forever, and it won't, and now it's dead. So because, again, the Bretton Woods system was in place for 27 years. The petrodollar system has been there for 40 years. However, the glue is starting to crack, and in fact, we're on the brink of another shift in the global financial system, and it will be at least as major as the end of the Bretton Woods in 1971, although it hasn't really ended because International Monetary Fund, World Bank, World Trade Organization, they're all elements of the Bretton Woods system and what they have done, the liberal banking financiers. You know, because in 1981, they came to a point where the Western system was about to collapse. And what did they invent? Reaganomics, which is an economic program that presupposed a constant credit stimulation of demand. And before it was adopted, the equilibrium macroeconomics parameters for American households looked like this. Total debt was no more than 60% of annual income, savings about 10% of real disposable income. By 2008, these parameters had changed. The debt is over 130% of annual income, and the savings minus 5 or 7%. And so the beginning in the early 1980s, the banking system allowed households to refinance their debt. That is, it became possible to repay all loans at the expense of the new ones, and this was part of the Reaganomics policy. And in order to ensure that demand did not fall, they began to lower the cost of the loan, because that's the only way you can do this. In 1980, if you remember, the rate was almost 20, and now it's virtually zero. And this is the problem. You cannot go under zero, which means no matter how much money they print, they have zero benefit with that money, because it doesn't matter if they print another $10 billion, a trillion, or quadrillion dollars. There's going to be no growth at all. And they have a problem. Well, they don't have a system or a method to get out of the rut that they're in, because, again, the global bubble, or the global, bubble, is $4 quadrillion. That's 4 and 15 zeros. And explain to me, please, how they're planning to get out of this.
I don't, well, we're coming to a break. That's a good point. You stopped perfect. I don't think they are planning to get out. I don't think they care. I think this side that you're describing, they don't care as long as they steal. All they want is power. All they want is power, Daniel. They don't care if they run it all the way down. Let's go on the other side. Wow, this is fascinating. Daniel Espone, In the Shadows of a Presidency is the book. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in this conversation, this book is fantastic. Stay tuned. More with Daniel Espone. You're listening to the Power Hour. Welcome back to the Power Hour. We're talking to Daniel Espone. Let's just get right back to it. This is very high-level analysis we're getting from Daniel. It's very connected. His book is fantastic. If this is interesting to you, In the Shadows of a Presidency, the Federal Reserve, Trump-appointed pal, the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates. I cannot see anything but disaster coming for the whole financial markets with these rates raising. Is this on purpose? What is the connection here? What is the Federal Reserve's play here?
Well, again, it's a very good question, because, again, the Federal Reserve is part of the global liberal banking financier model. The same as International Monetary Fund, World Bank, World Trade Organization, they're all part of the same liberal banking financier. Well, they're not with Trump on the same team. And let me give you an example. What had happened was, and again, I explain it in my book, that back in 2000, with the collapse of the stock markets and the dot-com bubble, and then in 2008 with the Lehman Brothers collapse, the international banking financiers, the international banking elite, they realized that although they controlled European emission center, meaning, you know, the euro printing, the Japan printing of money, what they needed more than anything else was to get their grubby hands on the American dollar and this machine that prints U.S. dollars. So they had actually, in 2010, there was a secret deal in place, and I explain it in my book. And the deal was between the international elite, the banking cartels, the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, and American liberal banking financiers. And they agreed that they would help the international banking elite to get control of the Federal Reserve and the dollar system. because, again, as long as they don't have access to the emission center, they absolutely have no way of getting out of this, because the emission center right now is in the control of Donald Trump, which is the alternative system. That's why we're seeing this insanity going on, not only in the United States, but globally. And so what had happened was everything was arranged, and the Federal Reserve was to become part of the control of Bank of International Settlement, which is Central Bank of Central Banks. And then, if you remember, in 2010, the president of International Monetary Fund, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, whose family roots go back to 5th, 6th century, in other words, 1,500 years ago. We're talking about his last name is St. Clair, his wife's last name. So these are very powerful French aristocrats. He was caught in a New York hotel room with a woman of, let's say, questionable character. We're not going to call her a prostitute. We're just going to say woman of questionable character. And if you saw charade in the circus afterwards, and you saw Dominique Strauss-Kahn's face, he was sitting there in court not understanding what was going on, saying to himself, this cannot possibly happen to someone like me. Well, what had happened was Barack Obama simply refused, by doing this action against Dominique Strauss-Kahn, to give the control of America's dollar to the banking financiers. And then in 2011, he eliminated for the first time since Reaganomics in 81 all the internationalists from his economic council, and these were members of Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. They were kicked off the economic council by Barack Obama. In 2014, he stopped printing of money, and in 2016, we had Brexit and Donald Trump. So if you really look at it, Donald Trump is the continuation of Barack Obama's second term economic policy. And that's something, again, that most people don't understand, just like they don't understand how is it possible that the United States printed $2.5 trillion between 2008 and 2014, and there was no inflation, because anywhere else on earth you print that amount of money, you're going to have a stratospheric inflation, but you didn't have it in the United States. And that's one of the things that had happened, one of the reasons why Obama stopped printing money back in 2014, because you see, between 2008 and 2014, the amount of cash in circulation went up from $0.8 trillion to $3.3 trillion. In other words, it increased by a factor of four, while at the same time, this thing called credit multiplier, which is a very important mathematical formula that determines certain economic parameters, it went from 18 to 4. In other words, you didn't have inflation because the money supply went up by a factor of 4 and the multiplier dropped by a factor of 4. And then you stopped printing because had it gone under 4, it would have kickstarted a process called non-payment crisis, which is what happened in Russia in 1998 when Russia's economy collapsed and Russia declared default. So Obama was between a rock and a hard place in 2014. And what most people, again, don't understand, and the media is not going to tell you, is that Trump simply is a continuation of Obama's second-term economic policy and the entire edifice of the liberal banking financier structure. And that, again, I'm not talking about the Democrats. It's transversal. It's both parties who have been beholden to the system since 1944 Bretton Woods Accord agreement.
There's the music. On the other side, we're going to have 5 minutes with Daniel Estulin to kind of wrap this up. This is very high level, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned, and we'll wrap this up, the Power Hour. English.DanielEstulin.com is his website. Ladies and gentlemen, may you live in interesting times. Well, this is interesting times. The only thing is, that's a Chinese curse. And what we're dealing with is just such high-level back and forth, illusions, truth, reality, what is it, figureheads, talking heads, whatever. Paradigms are breaking. Earth is shifting. Consciousness is rising. Consciousness is falling. Donald Trump seems to be, for better or worse, whatever, seems to be right in the middle of this, and that's a lot of our discussion that we've had today. His book, In the Shadows of a Presidency, discusses this absolute, life or death. I mean, that's probably the only word I can say. Life or death struggle that is going on for the future of mankind. And the question I'm going to put right to you, we got about 5 minutes with you, Daniel. Is Donald Trump our friend? Is he good? Or should we be behind him? Are we just being swallowed up anyway? What is it?
Well, again, it's like, you know, asking me if you want to be eaten by Godzilla or King Kong. But that said, definitely at this point in time, Donald Trump is our friend, because saving America at the expense, yeah, there are two options. Or you save the United States at the expense of the global liberal banking financier order, or the global liberal banking financier order saves itself at the expense of the United States. If we stand behind Donald Trump and he manages to save the United States at the expense of the liberal order, and that order crumbles into oblivion, it will allow every nation in the world to stand up, get up, and try to fix their own countries, getting rid of the speculators and building on infrastructure development, as Trump said, improving the lives of people per square kilometer of space against nature. And obviously, absolutely, we have to stand behind Donald Trump. Again, I want to repeat this. Donald Trump today can be called, you know, the leader of the Republican Party, but it doesn't mean that the Republican Party is Donald Trump. There's still people there who are part of the global liberal cartel. Most of them lost in the midterm elections. Had they all been with Donald Trump, we would have had a wall by now, but we don't. And a lot of Trump's initiatives were never going to work, not because Trump went back on his word, because actually he didn't, but because he had too many people within the Senate and the Congress caucuses who were traitors to the United States as a nation state, because they were working, again, for the global liberal banking financier cartel. My answer, yes, we got to be behind Donald Trump. We have to do everything in our power to dismantle the liberal banking financier speculators.
The debt. The only way I can see out of this debt is either a complete collapse and a reset, or some massive war. I mean, maybe there's something else that I'm not getting.
It has to be a massive war, because wars, not little Middle Eastern war between Syria and Israel, but a global war, because wars write off debts and responsibilities. And you cannot write off $4 quadrillion of a small regional war. And that's why it doesn't matter where, and that's why the Middle East is such a great place, you know, the ground zero for the global elite circles, because you have the Israelis and the Jews on the one side, and you have the Arabs and the oil on the other. I mean, you can't think of a better combination. That said, there are other solutions and other ways out of the crisis. One is obviously the thermonuclear war, which will kill off half of the world's population. But, you know, as Mao Zedong said, if that happens, they, the Chinese, we're still going to have a billion and a half people, and they're going to survive. Yes, they will. Another way out of the crisis is the United States leaves the rest of the world with dust and goes towards fixed technological techno-progress, which means and big nanobuying for Cogno and cold fusion. And that's one of the things that Trump and Putin discussed at their meeting in Helsinki. Another option,
really?
Third option, is you have a two-contour system where the United States goes their way, shuts the door on the United States and makes America great again, based only on the internal consumption, and China goes its way and builds a two-contour system. On the one hand, you have yuan, the Chinese currency, supported and backed by physical gold, golden yuan, and the second contour, electronic money, to write off this enormous, gigantic debt. And remember, China is not China. China is China and the Rothschilds, because the Rothschilds have deposited in Hong Kong 30,000 metric tons of gold as a compensation for what they had done to China back beginning with the first and second opium wars in the middle of the 19th century. And again, the president, or the emperor, today's emperor of China, Xi Jinping, he belongs to the old dragons. In other words, the clans who fought way back in the 19th century the war against the British, the first and the second opium war. So again, yes, we are living in interesting times. A lot is at stake, but what you're hearing, the dialectic in the media that Trump is a bad guy, he has bad eating habits, he picks his nose in public, it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the model that they represent is collapsing and they can't save it.
Okay, last question. I've got to let you go. We're going to have you on again soon. It's been an absolute pleasure. I love your book, Please, In the Shadows of a Presidency. If this interests you at all, ladies and gentlemen, really, I'm not just saying that. This is a good book. The Constitution in the middle of this, The Foundation of America, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry. In the middle of all this, I see that getting totally lost and this new system building on top of, on the ashes of that. Is there any place in the future for the Constitution?
Well, one of the reasons, a very good question, one of the reasons why the elite liberal banking financiers insist on constitutional convention is because they want to rewrite the Constitution. We got to do everything in our power to make sure that nobody touches that sacred document. It is what it is, and it's perfect the way it is. And if they get their grubby hands on it, they'll rewrite the Constitution and destroy our rights, which means that we're going to be much closer to being wiped off without any consequences at all.
Are we about to get strapped in to really, either now, in the future, the coming years, right at our doorstep, our existence, our will, our consciousness, who we are, is at war. I mean, that's what you're telling me.
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
We're going to have to leave it there. Daniel Estlin, English.Daniel.